It's such a deep and topic and a deep study that a single Sunday morning teaching cannot do justice to its content. And I must say that I really struggled with this one. And a lot of the notes that I made, I eventually crumpled up and put it in the waste paper basket. So it reminds me of this boy that was watching his father, a pastor, writing a sermon. And he said, "Dad, how do you know what to say?" Dad said, "My boy, why? God tells me." He says, "Dad, but then why do you keep on crossing out whatever God tells you to say?" Now, only those who are asked to preach know the value of this joke. I've noticed a disease in the church wherever my wife and I ministered, in South Africa and Russia and in Ukraine. People get saved, but many of them soon fall away. Is it because they were never discipled and they just lost interest? Were they just converts? Other members who used to be faithful members start church hopping from one church to another, always seeking more knowledge and excitement, eventually becoming lone rangers. Now, do you think that Jesus' disciples had more knowledge than what we have? I really don't think so. But one thing is certain. Those disciples knew who they were in Christ. And that is what inheritance is all about. Now I'll kick off with a story that was told to us while we ministered in Russia. This happened during Soviet times, when there was the Christians were oppressed. As one Sunday morning, a young man on his way to a communion service was apprehended by the secret police, the KGB, and they asked him, "Where are you going?" So now, how could he tell the truth without endangering his own life or compromising the life of his fellow believers that were also going to the same meeting? So he answered them. He said, "Our eldest brother has died, and my family and I are going to discuss the inheritance that he has left us." Now, the Bible is a story of inheritance, two parts, the Old Testament and the New Testament. Now, keep in mind, Testament is the same as inheritance, as the same as covenant. Since we came into agreement with God, we now have the access to the fullness of what belongs to God. There was an old covenant that was incomplete. And God looked at this and said, "This is not all I want for man. My intention for man is a complete inheritance." And God shared in the Old Testament prophets, with the Old Testament prophets, what his intentions were with the new covenant. But it's as if God was saying, had this gift for man, but the fullness of time had not yet come. 1 Peter 1 verse 10 says, I'm reading from the Living Bible, "This salvation was something the prophets did not fully understand. Though they wrote about it, they still had many questions as to what this all could mean." These future things to come, when would this happen? They realized it could only happen when a death takes place. The Messiah had to come and suffer before the new inheritance could become part of man's experience. It was like any other inheritance. Death has to take place. That's the principle of inheritance. If you are mentioned in someone's testament or will, the one who initiated this will or testament must first die. Hebrews 9, verse 16 and 17. Now, if someone dies and leaves a will or testament, a list of things to be given away to certain people when he dies, no one gets anything until it is proven that the person who wrote the will is dead. The testament goes into effect only after the death of the person who wrote it. While he is still alive, no one can use it to get any of those things he has promised them. I know by experience it is wonderful to inherit. But the greatest inheritance on earth cannot compare to the inheritance that the creator of the universe is excited about to share with us. It is so great that the Bible says that the angels are desirous to see the impact and content of this inheritance that God has destined for his people. Now, if God and the angels are excited about this inheritance, something is wrong with God's people who don't get excited. Something is wrong with the church today because we don't understand what God has actually come to give us in Christ Jesus. The principle is that the one who initiated the testament must first die. So that is why God in Christ became flesh, to live for this one purpose, to eventually die. For Jesus knew that in his death, he would announce the beginning of the New Testament, the new inheritance. Jesus tried to explain this to his disciples, but they were not a very smart bunch, and they did not understand. During the covenant meal, just before the crucifixion, when the bread was broken and the wine was poured, he said, this is the new covenant testament in my blood. They did not understand this. Actually, they would have tried to prohibit him from dying. When Peter heard this, he said, may God forbid this. And in his human emotions and sentimental connection to Jesus, he tried to stop him. But he didn't understand why Jesus had to die. Because it was through his death that the announcement would be made. The testament is now a legal document. And humanity are now legal heirs to it. And we can partake in the fullness thereof through the death of Christ. When he died on the cross, he said, it is finished. It is completed. Now the moment for humanity will break forth and they will have the privilege of partaking in the fullness of God. Because we are heirs of the Father and joint heirs with the Son. Now, what is this fullness of God? Ephesians 3 verse 19. To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Ephesians 3:19 is absolutely awesome in the Greek language concerning the issue of fullness. Now, unfortunately, I've written it down, but I can't pronounce the Greek, so I'll just tell you what it means. It says that we may become a body wholly filled. We may become a body wholly filled and flooded by God. Every pore of this body vibrating with the creative power of the Trinity. This body would be replacing missing body parts, turning spoken words into reality, and turning and moving medical mountains. Embracing and understanding fullness is our path towards possessing the signs and wonders mark of Acts 2:22. It says, men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. The same mark of attestation is to be upon believers according to Mark's account of the Great Commission. Mark 16 verse 17. And these signs will follow. These signs will follow all those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. But sad to say, my brothers and sisters, to our shame, most of us have only progressed to the level of goosebumps, and we seem to be satisfied with just that. It is in the discovery of inheritance, of what God has purposed for my life, that passion is ignited, taking hold with zeal what God has promised us. But the church has a big problem, an identity problem. We do not know who we are in Christ. And we are constantly measuring ourselves to God's standards. And we find we are not worthy of the inheritance because we feel so insignificant and inadequate. Yet if you are in Christ, you qualify for the inheritance because you are in Christ, not because of who you are. It stirs passion in your heart, and you are no longer under this weight of legalism. You know who you are. You know you are of the authority of the King, sons of the Most High God. But we tend to see ourselves as hopeless people doing little things to please God. Yet we are sons of the King. Galatians 4 verse 1 to 7. But remember this, that if a father dies and leaves great wealth for his little child, that child is not much better off than a slave until he grows up, even though he actually owns everything his father had. Verse 2. He has to do what his guardians and managers tell him to until he reaches whatever our age his father set. Verse 3, and that is the way it was with us before Christ came. We were slaves to Jewish laws and rituals, for we thought they could save us. But when the right time came, the time God decided on, he sent his son, born of a woman, born as a Jew, to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own sons. And because we are his sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, so now we can rightly speak of God as Abba Father. Now we are no longer slaves, but God's own sons. And since we are his sons, everything he has belongs to us, for that is the way that God planned it. John 1 verse 12, the Old King James. But as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become sons of God. Now the New King James and the Afrikaans Bible translators can become children of God, which is wrong. We become godlike. Now the big problem in the church today is the word adoption, as we know adoption. Now, let's look at verse 5 again. Adoption. Adopt us as his very own sons. In our culture, we understand adopting as taking a child who is not biologically ours and taking him into your family as your very own son or daughter. It was not so in biblical times. Now, I want to draw your attention to verse 1, child, and verse 5, son. The Old King James translation is good, but Afrikaans, as I said, not good. I believe they did not understand the concept of child versus son, and this is a very critical concept. Adoption in the Bible. It speaks of a father who had a son, his own biological son, and he takes his son on a journey of development. There were no schools like there are today. the father would contract a certain trainer or teacher to train his son in one area or discipline. The father would contact a few different trainers. When the son had developed to the satisfaction of the father, then followed the adoption ceremony. The father realized that his son was no longer an immature child, but now a mature man coming into his inheritance. And this ceremony, two things happened. Now, Jews today have a bar mitzvah for their sons. That is a transition into maturity. In our Western culture, young boys do not know when they become men. Ek sê altyd in Afrikaans, wanneer jou seun sy eerste bok geskiet het, of sy dop gedrink het, of 'n vuisgeveg gewen het, of 'n onhygiëniese besnyding in die bos oorleef het, then he is a man. But that's not so. At the biblical adoption ceremony, the father prepared a garment or cloak for his son. The cloak was very important, of great significance in Bible times. It defined your identity. The cloak defined your status or position in society. It was known as the inheritor's cloak. Now the son represented an inheritance. If you discover your inheritance, you walk around with a different attitude. If you think I have nothing, I walk with another attitude. If God can change the way we think about ourselves, and we start walking as people who we know we are. Secondly, then the declaration. This is my son. Now let's go back to Galatians 4, verse 1 to 7 again. Now I say that if a father leaves great wealth for his little child, that child is not much better off than a slave. Or another translation says that the heir, as long as he is a child. Now the Greek word for child is nepios. That is a little immature child. As long as the inheritor is nepios, he is no different from any of the household slaves. He is part of the family, but yet not yet son. And this is the big problem in the church. Many of us see ourselves as children of God, but few see themselves as sons of God. A child, nepios, enjoys all the privileges of a family, but he has no authority. No authority. There is no thought of inheritance with a child. I know I've been saved, and I'm a part of the family of God, and I always just hope that God will bless me and help me and maybe someday use me. But I don't understand that God wants to take me further on in this journey where there is the announcement over my life, sonship, and enjoying my inheritance and operating in the fullness of God. This is my son. At this ceremony, the father would shout out publicly, "This is my son," and everybody would understand that this young boy is now the inheritant of everything the father has. He would then hang the cloak around his son. His son would then walk around with an attitude, "I'm no longer a child, but son, inheritor." Verse 7, no longer a slave, but son. And if son, then an heir of God through Jesus Christ. This ceremony also happened in the life of Jesus. Jesus for 30 years, no miracles or any ministry, at least none that is mentioned in the Bible. Yet a part of God's family, yet not yet in full inheritance. John 3, 16 and 17. Then followed the ceremony. John the Baptist baptizes Jesus so all righteousness could be fulfilled. The heavens opened and the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus like a dove, and a voice was heard from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Empowered by the Holy Spirit, Jesus now moves in the full power and inheritance of God the Father. The desert experience Jesus had is very interesting. How does Satan attack? If you are the son of God, if you are the inheritor, he wanted Jesus to doubt his own inheritance. It is the same today. You are a child of God. You will go to heaven. But you are not good enough to be a son of God. You cannot be an inheritor. Maybe Andres or Werner or Kenny. But not you. You will always just be a pew warmer in the church. No, not you. And we believe the lie and we lose our authority and passion and commitment. Instead of rising up and saying, I am a son. And we must constantly hear this. Just say to one another, I am a son of God. Ja, julle vrouens kan ook maar sê, hoor. Prince William of England constantly hears this. I am the future king. I'm the future king. What causes us, or at least my brother says, expose yourself to the right things and you'll believe them. What causes us to lose understanding of sonship? We find this in the story in Luke 15, the prodigal son. Verse 11, a certain man had two sons. Remember, son is directly related to inheritance. Both these sons had gone through the same ceremony. The younger son said to his father, give me what is mine. He made a mess of it and all of us are very disappointed. At least what counts in his favor is that he knew what was legally his. Most of us don't know what belongs to us because of A, ignorance. We don't know what God has intended for us through Christ, and so we don't take hold of it. I have to discover what I have. Ignorance robs us of our capacity. Secondly, guilt and condemnation. The devil makes us feel guilty and we're condemned and we have no liberty to take our inheritance. For instance, the son among the pigs. There is full of guilt and condemnation. Verse 18, I will go to my father. I've sinned, no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me one like one of your hired servants, like Nepios, a little child. Full of condemnation and guilt like many, so many of us today. But the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us and I'm clothed with Christ. I am in Christ and I walk as inheritor, son of God. Guilt and condemnation cannot keep you and me away from God's purpose for our lives. Thirdly, religion and tradition and religious exercise. We are bound, but we do not realize it. We make the word of God powerless by our traditions. Not all traditions are wrong, but if it impedes us to take our full inheritance, then it is wrong. We find that in this life of the eldest brother, he hears singing and dancing. Instead of going straight to his father, he asks one of the servants, what is going on in the house? You are really in trouble if you are the son, but you must ask one of the servants what is happening in the house. So often God moves in a city, in a town, a congregation, a family or individual. And then many sons don't seem to know what God is busy doing. The father pleads with his son to come into the house. And my brothers and sisters, I want you to know that our emphasis in this church is discipleship, small groups, intercession, not just Sunday morning service. Get involved. Verse 29, but he replied, all these years I've worked hard for you. Check his mentality. He must earn something. I never once refused to do a single thing for you, you tell me to do. And in all that time, you never even gave me one young goat for a feast with my friends. He thinks he must earn something. He never transgressed. He is so religious that he is lying. He is not honest about his need for his father's love. Delestia and myself, we understand this so well. We worked so hard for God, but in all those years, nobody ever told us that we could have a loving, intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we became legalistic. Religion does that. Makes us put up a front, facade, a false front to keep certain image. The Bible calls those white painted graves. You try to impress others with your knowledge, by your speech and your words, but you never share about your own journey, your struggles, your doubts, and your fears. Always, hallelujah, brother, God is good all the time. He condemns his brother, but his inheritance was always there. He forgets that his father had already divided the inheritance in verses 11 and 12. But in his religious exercise, he never experienced his inheritance. All those years, I've been slaving for you. Verse 31, another Greek word. Look, dear son, that's the Living Bible. His father said, you and I are very close, and everything I have is yours. Dear son, in Greek, word is paideia. You are son, but you behave like a child. So many Christians satisfied with being a child of God, carefree as only a child can be. No responsibilities. I am on my way to heaven, so what more do I want? I remember we had a neighbor in Franschhoek. She lived just across the road. She was a very good sportsman, and especially with bowls. But she liked to. And every Saturday evening after bowls, as she would, and she always said, I always say, Jesus, take me as I am. And I said to her, Gladys, Jesus loves you too much to leave you as you are. Fourth one, lethargy. With sonship comes responsibility. Responsibility to live and act as sons of God. It is so important that we see ourselves either as children of God versus sons of God. Pastors, elders, cell leaders must develop a next generation who will know who they are. First, you must understand your identity in Christ. Galatians 3, the context of Galatians. Paul tries to establish the principle of who they are in Christ. Paul is actually angry with them. Oh, you foolish Galatians. Who bewitched you? Who has confused you? Confused your mind? You started so well. And he explains within this context the difference between child and son. The Jewish laws were there, were our teacher and guide until Christ came. The law trained us, but that dispensation has ended. We are not under the old tutor anymore, but have moved on. Faith has come, and we are no longer under the old tutor, the law. We are now justified by faith, for we are all sons of God. But as many as were baptized have clothed themselves with Christ. Clothed yourselves with Christ. Baptism. Apart from baptism being a burial, it is a clothing ceremony. Baptism is a public declaration of sonship. I am now in Christ. A clothing or cloaking ceremony. An inheritor of the fullness of God. Baptism is more than just a step of obedience, but an identification with the fullness of Christ. I have died and I no longer live, but it is Christ who now lives in me. We are now clothed with Christ. This will impact your identity. Change the way you see yourself. No longer Jew or Greek, male or female, slave or free. Status or position does not count. See yourself in Christ. No matter what I was, I have a new identity. If you see yourself in Christ, the fullness of what belongs to Christ becomes yours. We are Christian because we are in Christ. Modern theologians teach us tolerance towards all religions. All these religions say you have to perform, to do, to earn. But the Christian says, he has done it for me already. It is finished. Christianity is not doing, but discovering. The more you discover, the more you become. It is all about Christ. The more you discover what God has done for you, the more you respond in love. We must never reduce to the level of tradition or religion. Church is built on the revelation that Jesus is the Christ. Church is the place of revelation, a place of discovery of who Christ is and of who I am in Christ. I'm nearly finished. Colossians 1:15. He is the image or exact likeness of the unseen God. He existed before God made anything at all. And in fact, Christ himself is the creator who made everything in heaven and earth. The things we can see and the things we can't. The spirit world and its kings and kingdoms, its rulers and authorities, all were made by Christ for his own use and glory. Verse 19, for God wanted all of himself to be in his Son, or for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and I am baptized in him, clothed with him, and now he becomes my identity. And when am I being led by the Spirit of God? When I identify myself in the Spirit and not the flesh. The whole of Romans 8 speaks about this. Romans 8 verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Flesh leads to death. Identify yourself in the fallen state of Adam, or identify yourself in the victory of Christ. This is the choice we must make. For you have not again received the spirit of bondage to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption through whom you cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the Hoyos, the sons of God. And if sons, then we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, and we are prepared to suffer with him. How do I suffer? By laying down my fleshly attitudes to identify with the life of Christ. Now I'm coming for the landing. All right. Romans 8 verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creation waits for the revealing of the sons of God. This is the most challenging scripture. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed, for the inheritors of God to rise up. And my brother and sister, if there's ever a time in the world that the church, the sons of God, should rise up, because this is our moment in history. The world is in a turmoil, but our God knows exactly what he's doing. But this is our opportunity. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son. Predestined. God wants to take his people on a certain destination, to a destination that was predetermined. What is this destination? He predestined us to become conformed. Greek is son, morpho. Same DNA, to become like, to the image of his Son. Because Jesus is the inheritor of the Father. And it is important to know our inheritance is not something separate from Jesus. Jesus is the beloved Son. I cannot inherit outside of Christ. It is impossible to inherit because of my good works. I can only inherit because I am in Christ. My last scripture, Ephesians 1, 17, 18 and 19. This is for you. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand. that same power is available for all his sons. Do you all know that song, I'm No Longer a Slave? Just a chorus. Sing it with me without music. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am. Okay, ushers, please close the doors, lock it. I don't want anyone to leave because I'm going to repeat this whole sermon for you. Forget about the second thing. But I'll give you one opportunity to redeem yourself. Let's sing it again. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am. Hallelujah. You have been redeemed. Okay. Hallelujah.
Okay. Let's stand this morning. One thing I've learned from working through the Old Testament the last while is when the Father speaks, the sons are there to listen and to receive the blessing. And they would fight for moments like this where the Father speaks and dictates into identity. And I think what we need to do is just to receive what Wim Johnny has brought for us this morning. So let's close our eyes for a moment, and I think there's some of us here that it's almost like you're living in the family of God, and it's almost like God has a farm, and you're like, yeah, but those are the jobs of the sons. I also live here, but and I enjoy living here, but die is for his sons, die is not for me, and some of us needs to make a mind shift, like really. We're living like hirelings where actually there's a seat for you at the table. He prepares a table for you in the presence of your enemy. You are a son. And Father, this morning I just have an idea of such gifted people in our midst because they are gifted by the Holy Spirit, endowed with gifts and graces and abilities. But many of it locked up in long time storage, gathering dust. And so I just pray, Holy Spirit, for a stirring of the Spirit, like your word says in 2 Timothy 1. I pray for a stirring of gifts that was once received. And maybe for some here, there was a time where there was a tension, there was intentionality, and there was a stewardship of gifts, but they've been locked up. And we just call it out again this morning. Would you just, in your own words, just say to God, God, if I have any gifts that I packed away very deeply, I'm open as you lead to gather it and use it again. Even if it doesn't make sense right now, even if you're not sure, just say, Lord, I'm just open to be a steward of what you've given me, to be a son. Not a young child, but a son. If you can relate to that, just put up at least one hand. Just let's just practice faith in this place. Thank you for those hands. Father, as you see hands go out, up, I just pray that right now, even the Holy Spirit will move on hearts, touch hearts, and activate and help people discover, stir up again that which was given to them. Johnny, but it's a seën gebed oor hierdie mense asseblief. Oor ons almal.
Vader, baie dankie vir u kosbare woord, your precious word. Lord, I pray that what we heard today will drop into our hearts, that we will not regard ourselves as little innocent children of God, but Lord, that we are part of the generation that you are raising up to win this town and to influence the rest of the country and even the world, wherever you send us, to be witnesses of the overcoming power that there is in the name of Jesus. Salvation, freedom, peace, and joy. Lord, you are the ruler. You rule this mighty universe with power and strength. Yet you are small enough to come and dwell in our hearts and make us strong sons of God. Thank you that we have been clothed with Christ, everyone. And I pray for every one of my brothers and sisters that we will walk around with a different attitude. We know that we are the sons of the living God. We praise you. We honor you. Lord, I bless them. I bless them with knowledge, with insight, Lord, with abundance of eagerness to go and be testament out wherever they live and work, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, everyone. Because we need to make